Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We're joined by Paul Dottino. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Hey, John. Great to see you again. OTA's back in full force. 70 degrees, sunny and clear. Coach loves that because he gets to practice outside.
Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. You can chime in. Of course, the news that broke a couple days ago, Jason Pierre-Paul having to undergo back surgery. He'll be out an estimated 12 weeks now. I was listening to the NFL Network. Willie McGinnis was on. He made the point that he had the same surgery, recovered in less time than that. Other guys have been known to recover in less time than that. But always wise to take it slowly and be careful when it's a franchise player like Jason Pierre-Paul. You want to make sure he's 100% or at least as close to it as possible by the time the regular season starts. And I guess just based on the time schedule, Paul, there is an outside chance he could get a little playing time in that final preseason game against New England to get him ready for the season opener.
Well, you know, John, this is a guy who's still climbing up in the early stages of his career. And I think that, you know, obviously he tried to avoid the back surgery at all costs, and then they finally decided it had to be done. The most important thing is that you want this guy to be healthy and productive over the long term. Remember, he's only on his first contract. The Giants believe that this is going to be a stud defensive end for a good decade on this team. And they don't want to screw around with that. And if you rush him back a week or two, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule or even on schedule, maybe you run the risk of doing damage to him, hurting him during the course of the season, and maybe even something long term. To me, I'd even wait an extra week or two, err on the side of caution. And I'll tell you now, if he comes back for Carolina or Kansas City in week 3 or 4, so be it. The most important thing is that he needs to be absolutely, positively, as close to 100% as possible before he steps on the field. At least that would be my take.
Right, but here's the problem. We saw what happened.
We saw what happened to the Giants' defense last year when Jason Pierre-Paul struggled the last 8 games of the year. They had no pass pressure, and the secondary looked terrible. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't get to the quarterback. And really, the whole process fell apart. If he's going to miss tangible time at the start of the season, this NFC East is tough enough as it is. Probably only one team's coming out of the division. And you could very easily lose those first 2 games if JPP doesn't play. You could be in a lot of trouble down the stretch here if you lose games early because Jason Pierre-Paul's not in the game.
The only thing I would say to you, John, is first of all, only one of the first 4 games is in the division.
True.
Which is a very big deal.
That is a big deal.
And part of my decision-making process. So in addition to that, you're also looking at a much easier stretch run of a schedule than there has been in years past as well. So while I'm not exactly thrilled to see him miss any regular season games, I'd much rather him miss 1, 2, 3 regular season games if I know I can get him back fully for the rest of the schedule and not have him taking any games off later on because he's going to have recurrences.
What do you think the odds are he might get placed on the PUP list?
I don't think so, and the reason I say that is because the PUP list is a 6-game thing.
All right.
I don't see the Giants worried about him for 6 games. I think they're probably thinking now, hey, let's see if we can get him approximately 12 weeks before the return. That brings him to opening day for Dallas. If he's got to miss an extra 1, 2, even 3 games like I might suggest, that still gets him back for week 4 against Kansas City. So if you can get him back realistically for week 4, 5, and 6, even if you're being cautious about it, why wouldn't you want to do that? You put him on PUP, he's gone for 6 automatically. And that's to me, that's really overdoing it.
No, yeah, I'm with you. So I guess you got to see how he recovers, see how he sets up. And I would imagine now if he, you know, he's going to be out for most of training camp. So first team is going to be Kiwanuka and Tuck, I would assume.
I would think it would be. And then you're going to look at guys like Adewale Ojomo, who really.
Say that again?
Adewale Ojomo.
There you go.
Who really needs to have an outstanding training camp. You know, last season he goes into the summer camp basically as a nobody. Has a pretty good summer camp and enough that they wanted to keep him around. And in the preseason, it looked like he'd be on the outside looking in. And then what happened? You know, I mean, you had Osi who was holding out, so there was room there for a defensive end to make a mark. And Ojomo had such a great preseason, in fact, got better each week, that the Giants were forced to keep him. Now, he didn't play, which was a shame, because we really don't know what he could do against ones. We know he can beat up third-string guys along the offensive line. We don't know if he can beat up any starters.
Right.
That's going to be a big question. The Giants are going to need something out of him. And then, of course, there's Demontre Moore, the rookie, who has a tremendous amount of skill but is very raw.
And your man Adrian Tracy, too. He's a guy that had an impact in the preseason last year.
A guy who, you know, the Giants have always had high hopes for, but for a lot of various injuries, you know, has never really been able to do much for them. The problem is with him, he's not your typical defensive end. You know, he's on the smaller side.
That's correct.
He's really a tweener.
Converted linebacker.
He's more of an outside backer than he is. Although they've run him more as a D-end, he's more of a backer to me.
Well, if he is a real position in the NFL, it's probably as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Yes.
That'll cover, you know, a little bit, but mostly rush the passer.
I would agree.
He's a little smallish for a defensive end, no question about it. But it's just troublesome that before you even get to mandatory minicamp, you have your starting fullback, who is going to be impossible to replace because there just aren't a lot of blocking fullbacks on the market.
Yeah, you got to keep looking at the wire, John.
You have your best defensive end, your best pass rusher, and quite frankly, you could argue your second best player on the team.
You could argue that?
Being out for the entire offseason. Obviously, these guys get back, they get healthy, and I think there's a much better chance, by the way, JPP is ready for week one than Henry Hanoski.
Agreed.
That's just my feel for it.
I feel the same way. Henry, to me, is automatically PUP, and if he can't recover quick enough, he might even be IR at some point.
It's just a darn shame that you got to start with these injuries early, something that you hoped you'd get over, you know, after last year when you had all these problems. Your two wide receivers aren't in camp. It just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence this early in the process.
Well, it doesn't, but again, you said early in the process, and those are key words,
yep,
John, because it's still June, and I think when we get back here to the Timex Center, remember next week there's mandatory veteran minicamp. And then we come back on July the 27th for the first practice of, quote, training camp, even though it's here at the Timex. It feels odd calling it training camp when we're home.
Sure.
But that's going to be really – that first week is going to be much more of a telltale sign as to what the Giants can expect from some of these guys than anything that we see here. At that point, if you don't see some of these guys getting on the field, Jaquan Williams is another guy. Now you have to start shaking your head and say, this could not be a good thing.
Let's go to our calls at 201-939-4513. Anthony's in New Jersey. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to answer the question about who's going to have the most sacks this season.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be Justin Tuck. In order for the Giants defense to do well this year, with JPP being, they say he's going to return week one, but you know how these injuries go. They never return, you know, on a scheduled time. I think Justin Tuck's going to have, you know, a sort of surprise season this year. The last two seasons, he said he hasn't really been motivated. But I think with JPP's injury and OC being gone, I think he's motivated enough to return to the, you know, the typical Justin Tuck that we've seen throughout his career. And if that doesn't happen, then this Giants defense, especially the front four, may be in trouble. So I think Justin Tuck's going to surprise a lot of people. And have the most sacks this year. And that's all I got to say.
All right, Anthony, appreciate the call, man.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And I should have teased our question before I went to the call. This is what we had put up on Twitter. Who's going to have the most sacks in the Giants' defensive line this year? And Tuck's not the guy I would choose, only because he, even when he was at his best, he was never an extremely high sack number guy. He plays at left end, which is not your traditional pass rushing side. He's a run stopper and a pass rusher. Honestly, I would probably still say JPP has the most sacks this year for the Giants. I'd still say that. But number two on my list would probably be Kiwanuka, and then Tuck would be three. Your thoughts?
Wow. Tuck has had double-digit sacks three times in his career. His career high is 12. Can JPP give the Giants more than 12 if he plays less than 16
games? How long
has
it been since Tuck got 12?
It's been a while. But I want to add another piece of motivational wood onto the fire.
Contract.
Bingo. Final year of his contract. And if Justin Tuck plans on being in the NFL in 2014, and I don't know the answer to that right now, and I don't know if he does, but should he, it's very important to him that he has a big year this year. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a Pro Bowl year, but it's got to be a big year.
Here we go. 2009, Justin Tuck, 6 sacks. 2010, 11.5. 2011, 5. 2012, 4.
Right. So he's basically, if he repeats what he did last season, there's a chance the Giants don't re-sign him, because we know they have very little cap room going into next year and a lot of guys they're going to need to bring back. A
lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do. So that's a realistic possibility. I don't think that's out of the question that you know, they won't have room to bring him back if he's not worthy. And then second of all, John, if he puts up a 50-tackle, 40-tackle, 4-sack year, what's he looking at next year, even on the open market? Not much more than the veteran minimum.
And he might come back here just above the veteran minimum, too, since, you know, he's such a Coughlin guy, his good leadership and all that.
And I don't know if that's really what he wants to do.
No, I'm sure it's not.
It might even push him into retirement.
The question, though, the down years Tuck has had, I mean, he's playing through them. But he just seems like he's getting to the point at his age, he's 30, where he's almost perpetually hurt. Even if he's not on the injury report, he always seems to be fighting through something.
So the question becomes, and it's happened before. I mean, you look at a guy like Richard Seymour, who, was in this league for the better part of a decade and had a little bit of a down year, a couple of down years, had been hurt a little bit. You kind of didn't hear from him. And then all of a sudden, his career got resuscitated
again.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's not very unreasonable.
Good comparison.
Right? To think that he could become a top-flight defensive end again. It's happened before. So it's really all on Justin, to be perfectly honest with you. It's all on him. And then the other thing, and we don't want to discount this, John, the rest of that D-line, we've talked about this in other shows, the defensive tackle rotation right now is a bit of a mixture of guys who we just don't know.
I do like the fact that Jenkins should be able to get better pass rush than anybody the Giants had to tackle the last couple of years.
And I would think that Hankins is going to be able to occupy some attention because he's just a real big body. And even on early downs when he's in there, because let's face it, he's going to be an early down guy. He's going to occupy some attention, and that could also free up Tuck. So, you know what? As I sit here now, and don't hold me to this, folks, I'm going to give Justin Tuck 8 sacks right now.
I think that's a fair number.
Right now.
I'm good with that.
I may change that in August, but today I'm giving him 8.
And honestly, I still think JPP finishes with more than that. I think he'll go for 10 or 11 this year. I think that's a fair number.
I'm going to say JPP gets back by week 3. This is strictly pulling it out of the air, folks, so don't hold me to it, and this is not any doctor's information. I'm going to say he's back by week 3, and he finishes with 10.
All right.
Yeah,
I think we're on the same page here. I like that. 201-939-4513. Tim's in Minneapolis. Tim, what's up? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tim?
Take my call.
No problem, man. Anytime.
You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to ask you a question about the JPP injury.
Sure.
Do you think there's any chance that we might look at, like, a John Abraham or, somebody, who could get for the cheap that would, help to spell him on that side? And also I wanted to add in that, I hope Knicks does play hardball with us next year, because I want to get a look at Reuben Randle. I want to see Randle in Hakeem Nick's spot. I think he's a little bit more physical of a receiver, at least just, from the few plays that I've seen him. I know he didn't get a lot of work. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'll take it off the line. I'm trying to get on here every day like Shakes.
Nah, Tim, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call, dude. Thanks, right, man. Take it easy. And Shakes is coming up next, by the way, so stay tuned. But I think this is a big year evaluation. Let's see what they do with Cruz. There's a chance he plays on that one-year tender. If he does, great. You evaluate this season. Great from the Giants' perspective. I don't think it's great from Victor's perspective. I'm him. I don't go down that path. We've gone over the reasons a million times. No need to do it again. But this is a big evaluation year in terms of the wide receivers, because I think, Paul, if Randle shows enough this year, him and Knicks play the same position, and Knicks has another year where he plays 12, 11 games, battles knees, ankles, hamstrings, whatever. When he's in there, he's productive. He's a good player. I think the Giants will be more willing to let him walk and hand the job to Randle and keep Cruz long term.
John, you know,
that's my gut.
There are so many dominoes at play that will kind of filter out through the Giants receiving core in the next 2 years. One of the things you have to keep in mind, too.
And Randle's got to do it. That's the thing.
Well, that's first.
Yeah.
That's first thing that has to happen.
Has to.
As far as Knicks, let's say Knicks has a super-duper season this year. And then next year, you know, we all talk about, well, now what's going to happen with the contract situation? Well, obviously he's going to want a deal. But see, he's going to wind up being a restricted free agent when his contract is up. He's going to be in the same situation as Victor Cruz is now. So even after next year.
Are you sure Knicks is restricted next year? Knicks signed a 5-year contract. I thought after 5 years, you're an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, I'd have to double check on that one, Al.
He's unrestricted next year.
He's
next,
unrestricted.
Right?
So the Giants can franchise him then.
They can franchise him.
They
That's
don't have
correct.
To tender him. They can franchise
That's
him.
That's correct. If they want him on a 1-year deal, you can't franchise
him. You're right, John.
Knicks.
I'm forgetting the years of his tenure. They can franchise him because they still have that tag in their pocket.
Correct. Remember, you have two tags now, too. You can
That's
tag
true.
Two guys.
So, you know, Akiem Nicks is not exactly as free as a bird as everybody wants to believe.
And neither will Cruz after next year either.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's why, you know, there's a lot of panic about these guys because everybody says, oh, you know, they're going to be unrestricted or whatever the case may be and they can get out of their deals. Well, you know what? The clubs still have a measure of leverage here is the point that I'm trying to make.
The problem you have, though, from the Giants' perspective, if you franchise the guy,
well,
that's a $12 million cap hit in 1 year.
Understood.
You can sign to a long-term deal, backlog some of the guaranteed money.
No doubt.
And you can bring both guys back. It makes harder to bring both guys back if you have to franchise one of them because you're giving one guy so much money in just that one season.
No question about that, John. But the point is they do have the ability to do that if they want to. And hold up one of these guys, you know, so that they can't be as free as a bird.
The Giants still hold the cards. They still have the leverage.
They do.
No question. 201-939-4513. Shake is in Baltimore. Shake, what's going on, pal?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm on here every day.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. When I'm listening to the show. And my take on the most sacks, I actually thought up a joke. Actually, it's going to be Aaron Curry.
Oh, geez. You are in love. You are in love with Aaron Curry, Shakes.
I'm just joking, man.
I know.
Really? Really? It's going to be Matthias Kiwanuka. I think that with him going back to his natural position, like, that's what he does. He rushes the quarterback. Now, he's serviceable at linebacker. Like, he don't mess up. But at defensive line, he's a beast, and going back there, he's going to get a lot of sacks. I give him around that's surprising, but I give him 12 sacks. And I think Tuck going to bounce back. I think that we're going to lead the league in sacks again this year. This year is like we're going back to what we used to do. That what we win. That's how we win. We win with the sacks. So
Shakes is always the eternal optimist.
Wow. They're going to go from middle of the pack to leading the league in sacks, just like that.
Leading the league.
How many Shakes? How many sacks for DeMontre Moore then? If they're going to lead the league in sacks, he's going to have to contribute too.
You're going to like this. Because I'm high on the monster. I give the monster 5 sacks.
You know what?
Count it. Book it.
And I told John a couple weeks ago I could see him for 6, and John thought I was absolutely out of my mind.
No. I called you out of your mind when you said he's unblockable, and then you explained, well, he'll get 6 sacks. I'm like, all right, well, that's a little bit more reasonable.
Okay. So you're all right with 6?
6 to me is a little high. I'd go 4 over the course of the year, more towards the end of the season when he gets into, you know, better into NFL shape. I think 6 might be on the high end. I would go 4, maybe 4.5.
Right. I go 5. I go 5, and I think Joseph's going to add in about 4.
I think you got a better chance of Colin Jenkins getting 6 or 7, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
What?
Interesting.
No, that's a lot.
I don't
that's
see that
lot.
One either, but
Colin
okay.
Jenkins can rush the passer from that defensive
yes,
tackle
he can.
Spot.
He
yes, he can, but that's a lot from a defensive tackle. If he gets 6 or 7, he should go to the Pro Bowl.
I could see Colin Jenkins in that Fred Robbins role from back in, like, 2007. and Freddie Robbins had a couple years where he had 6 or 7 sacks.
5 or 6. I don't know if he ever had 7. I think he had 6 a couple times.
Ooh.
I liked Freddie.
Yeah, Fred Robbins was good. I love Freddie.
Good player,
all right,
Fred Robbins.
Guys.
All right, appreciate it, Shanks.
All right, let me get off y'all line, man. All right, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
All right, take it easy. Oh, man. Shanks is the eternal optimist. If I had to pair him with anybody, it would be, Paulie DeTino.
No. He's out of control. Lead the league in sacks. That's a lot to ask for,
Freddie
Shanks.
Robinson had 5.5 sacks 3 years in a row.
I thought he had 6.
And then he had 6 in 2010 with the Rams.
Okay, that was his career high.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he had 5 or more in 4 out of his 6 years with the Giants. Good player.
Very good player. No question. They're very happy to have him. It was one of their better free agent signings of the decade.
Yeah,
question.
I forgot that he was with Minnesota for 4 years before he got
here. Well, Minnesota played him a lot of defensive end.
Yeah.
He was a little bit of an end and a tackle. And when the Giants brought him in, they said, no, you're going to be a defensive tackle for us. Just worry about playing DT. And it was a good move.
And I guess he's officially retired now, Fred?
Yes,
he didn't play last year. He's retired?
He is finished.
Perfect. 201-939-4513. Vic's up in Connecticut. Vic, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, Vic?
First of all, do we know that Shakes is not Aaron Curry's agent?
No, I do not know that for sure, but I think it is a distinct possibility. Maybe not agent, I'm thinking maybe publicist.
I'm thinking he does a good job with that.
You know, Shakes might also run his Twitter account. Aaron Curry, very, very active on Twitter.
Well, I hope he makes the team. That's all I got to say. I mean, Shakes is going to have nothing to talk about if Aaron Curry doesn't make the team, but I agree with him. He's going to be a decent player, hopefully, if he does make the team. But just kind of weighing in on your question a little bit,
yeah.
I think Mathias Kiwanuka, too. I agree with him on that one. I think it's his time. He'll get a turn. I'm not totally convinced he'll just play defensive end. I'm sure they'll probably maybe use him as a hybrid a little bit. But I can see him with 10 or 11 sacks, kind of an OC type of person coming in off the bench behind JPP and rotating around. So, and I also think Colin Jenkins might be a surprise, too, so I kind of agree with that. My question for you guys is, you know, we've been through the free agency and the OTAs pretty much and the draft and everything else, and everybody's kind of got to look at the team and, you know, first blush anyway. There seems to be a lot of competition on the roster, but I kind of think that the third and fourth corner is really interesting, especially with Thomas. I mean, if he gives us anything this year, it's going to be a tremendous plus. And I think defensive tackle, you know, as you both mentioned, is very, very interesting. I think there's some, you know, Jenkins and a bunch of good players in there. What do you guys think about the competition in camp? Where do you see it mostly coming from? What position?
Oof, that's a good question. I mean, I think you're going to see a ton of competition at linebacker. I think right now you probably only know one guy that's going to start, and that's Dan Connor. With Jaquan Williams' injury, I don't know who's going to start the other two spots. So I think you're going to have a lot of competition there.
They want Keith Rivers to start if he can stay healthy.
Right, exactly. You'll see what happens at right tackle on the offensive line. I think you'll see a lot of work there between Dio, Pugh, and even James Brewer a little bit. The third safety, which I think is a very important position on this Giants defense, just as important as the third and fourth cornerback. I think you'll see a lot of competition there between Will Hill, Cooper Taylor, and the guy they brought in from
Mundy.
Pittsburgh, Ryan Mundy. So you have those three guys competing for that spot. Throw Tyler Sash in that mix, too, if you are so inclined. And I think that's where I see the most competition happening in training camp, Paul. Am I missing anything there?
I think you're missing the biggest spot.
D-tackle?
8 of them.
D-tackle?
There are 8 defensive tackles, and if you're asking me where the competition's going to be, that's a different question than asking me where do you need to answer the most questions. Those
that's
are two
good
different
point.
Questions.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
The biggest competition, they're only going to keep 4 defensive tackles. There are 8 on this roster right now, including Okum, the veteran who nobody ever talks about, but he is a big body.
He is a big body.
You know, and the Giants have needed a plugger. And, you know, Sean Rogers is here. Hankins is here. Okum is here. You know, these guys are all the plugger types. You know Hankins is making the team. That's a lock.
I think they keep 5.
Well, you know what? Then still, it's 8 for 5.
I think Jenkins is the 5th guy because he can swing out the end, too, if they need him.
Well, the only thing I know for sure, we know that
Joseph
Hankins is here,
and
Jenkins
is
here, and we know that and Jenkins is making
the team.
So that's
3.
Right. Those 3 guys are a lock.
Here's the question. Can you afford to have another plugger?
That's a real good question, John. A real good question, because if you count on Hankins, you're saying, well, it's a rookie. And you just don't know how much can you put on the rookie's shoulders right away.
Right.
So if it's Rodgers who wins out that job, well, now you know you have to keep 2, because then you keep Rodgers because he's playing well, but you keep Hankins because
Marcus
he's the future.
Marcus Kuhn's making the team.
Marcus Coon's going to probably make the team unless his knee isn't good and he goes PUP.
Honestly, he's been doing more work than a lot of these guys have been doing in OTAs. But I'd be shocked if Coon is not on the team.
Still coming off major knee surgery, I'm going to hold my water on him.
That's fair.
If that's okay.
That's fine.
So, you know, to me, the back end of that depth chart is wide open for a bunch of guys who are kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, you'll see Mike Patterson. I have a big piece of that competition. Sean Rogers, you mentioned Oakham. And you'll probably only get one guy out of those three making the team, which should be interesting.
So to me, that's the biggest area of competition on this team.
I like that. I forgot about that. It's a good point.
So,
And I agree with everything you said. Just one real quick point, just kind of fast-forwarding to maybe this time next year. I'm always kind of looking into the future with the Giants. But if things pan out the way that I think everybody wants them to pan out, and Justin Pugh finds a spot for himself on the line, I'm thinking that maybe he moves into like the left guard spot, and maybe Booth moves out. Do you think it's possible that, you know, like Jerry Reese and the powers to be are kind of looking for Pugh to get that spot, and maybe retaining Booth, and then in the back end of the defense, Will Hill stepping up this year? Because between Roll and Boss, they've got about $8 million locked up for next year, and I'm just wondering if that's going to be a direction that the Giants will look for Will Hill to kind of step in for Roll next year and for Pugh to step in on the line and maybe keep Booth and maybe Boss as a casual cap.
They love Will Hill, so yes, there's a lot of upside there, and they would love to see him progress as soon as possible, and at some point I think he will be a starter here.
They also like Roll a lot, though, and I realize he makes a lot of money. I think they'd be much more likely to renegotiate than to cut outright, but if Roll's frankly, if his level of play is high this year, the Giants are going to have a hard time cutting him loose. Because he's one of the few guys that can make a play in that secondary.
I think he stays. I think what you have to worry about is if Stevie Brown goes out and has another, like, 8-interception season. I mean, remember, they tendered him as a second-round tender this year.
Is he unrestricted next year?
I think he's going to be, at that point, it'll be his fifth year in the league.
Has he played 3 or 4 years?
I thought he's played already 3. This will be his fourth. Bless you, Nile. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford, if Stevie Brown starts picking off a ton of passes again, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford Stevie Brown.
That's a good point.
So you may see Hill and Roll as your two safeties at some point down the line, too. But here's what you need to worry about. 2013, you are so far down the pike right now, I can't even begin to discuss this. I will say, though, Justin Pugh is not a left guard. If Justin Pugh does not become the Giants' starting right tackle in the future, he's going to either be their center or their right guard. He is not going to be their left guard.
Okay.
Thanks,
Vic. That makes sense. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Take
it. 201-939-4513. This will be Stevie Brown's fourth year in the league.
This is four now.
Yes. So I guess he would be restricted one more year? Because you don't get unrestricted
until
after five.
But he was asking about 14. So the Giants would have, let's see, this is his fourth. He'd be restricted for
next year. And then they'll be unrestricted the year
after
that.
Right.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Maryland. Len, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's up, Len?
Well, let me just tell you, I'm in my car, and if the sun were shining in the District of Columbia, I would literally be in the shadow of RFK Stadium.
Nice.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, how many great games did we see in that stadium, folks?
Many.
There were some beautiful experiences there. Now, I'm not going to be inside that stadium, but I'm right next to it, and I was kind of reminiscing, waiting for you guys to take my call. Is today media day? Today's media day, isn't it?
That's correct.
That's great. Now, as I often do, here's the questions I want answered by the folks after media day. I want to know who's there and who's not, of course, and who's there but not practicing, and what the reasons are, and what the projection is as to when those guys are going to be able to get back.
Len, I know you're driving, and I don't want to take too much of your time with this comment, but it's very important to note that, first of all, the OTAs are voluntary. Second of all, you got a bunch of guys here who, because of various medical conditions, they're just not going to practice. It's more news if, let's say, a Marcus Coon goes out there and does something spectacular than it is if somebody decides they're not going to work today. I mean, if, for example, let me pick a guy out of the woodwork. Let's just say for some reason Antro Old does not practice today because he's got the flu or he's got a strained thigh. Big whoop-de-doo. You know, Twitter has turned the fans into maniacs. It's turned the reporters in that press room into maniacs. You know, a guy goes to take a sneeze, you know, on the side, and they're all saying, well, he missed the snap. Len, this is so overreported. It is so micro-reported. It is insane. And I'll be perfectly frank with you. It gets annoying. It really does, because then you have to react to all of this gobbledygook. The bottom line is, it is the first week of June. It is irrelevant whether Corey Webster takes a day off, or Antrell Roll takes a day off, or Linval Joseph takes a day off the first week of June. It's irrelevant, you know? And look, I love Giants fans. I love them to the end of the earth. But the bottom line is, relax, people. This is not opening day. If it's the first week of practice for the first game of the regular season and somebody misses a practice or isn't here when they're supposed to be here, now it's news. It's not news today. You know, if Stevie Brown doesn't practice this afternoon because he's got a cold, it's not news.
Well, Paul, let me just two comments. First of all, let me say I would never drive and talk on the phone, so I am parked.
Okay, Len, I'm glad.
So I don't want you to worry about me.
All right, I'm glad, because I was concerned as I popped off there.
I know you were. I could tell. I know you were. So I just wanted to let you know, and maybe that's good for everybody. Don't talk on the phone and drive your car. And I'm not doing that.
Good stuff.
But, well, let me try to be more specific then with regard to where my question comes from. I understand what you're saying. And I think a lot of Giants fans do get tired of all the, you know, the rumors that spread. One rumor at 9:50, another rumor at 10:20, and so forth. But what's going on with Hakeem Nicks? And do you think this staying away has anything to do with that knee, Paul?
Well,
you know, I'm beginning to wonder whether next week, right before we get ready for the, you know, the mini camp, you know, the Giants announce that Hakeem is going under the knife.
Oh, please don't say that.
What's going on with that name? Well, I mean, I'm dreading that. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just so sorry to hear about JPP. I'm glad the doctors were very, you know, cautious with it. Nobody should get cut as the first alternative. And I'm glad they did what they did. And I hope you're right that he's back by the third week. That would be great. And 10 sacks. Oh, my God. Thank you very much, Paul.
And, oh, come on. 10 and 14 isn't that much to ask for from a guy like him.
Well, I know, but coming off the injury, you know, you got to be a little worried
about
the injury. And
I know.
I'll take eight from Justin Tuck anytime.
Let me answer your question, Len. You want to know about Hakeem Nicks? Here's the only thing that I could think of, and I truly believe that he and or his agent owed a phone call to Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin before the OTA started.
Because quite frankly, if he would have made that phone call, you wouldn't have Len being nervous about this. You wouldn't have me and you trying to figure out what's up, and you wouldn't have this problem.
You know. Douse the fire before it starts.
Exactly.
But having said that, Len, okay, a foolish mistake. I still don't get it because Hakeem Nicks is a class guy. He's a team guy. Never known him to cause trouble or to be a grumbler. So I still don't get that part of it. But then after he misses the first couple of OTAs, his agent comes out and says, it's not contract related, but I have nothing else to say. Well, you know what? To be perfectly honest with you, that was kind of doing Hakeem Nicks a disservice, because his abrupt and short and non-explanatory or inexplanatory, unexplanatory, pick a word, answer did not help the situation. In fact, it probably made it a little worse. And then Tom Coughlin tells us last Thursday at our last media availability, he has not heard from Hakeem Nicks, even though it's a couple of weeks in. So what I'm telling you is there's been some bad judgment here on Nix's camp in terms of communication skills. I hope we find out today from Tom that, in fact, Hakeem Nicks and or his people have called and have given the Giants a reason and that everything's okay. That's what I hope happens. I don't believe it's a contract issue. I really don't. And I firmly believe that Hakeem Nicks will be here next Tuesday when the mandatory minicamp opens up. If he is not, now you have an issue with guys who are not here. Then it becomes news. Today, it's still not so much news.
Okay, thank you. I do appreciate that. And just let me add, and Paul, maybe you'll agree with me on this. I don't know if John remembers back this far, but that 86 win right near the end of the season in RFK Stadium that put us in that, but didn't put us in the Super Bowl, but we were on our way to the Super Bowl. That was a huge, huge game at RFK, 1986.
The McConkie touchdown catch was a very instrumental part of that game, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a good call, Len.
Wonderful memory.
Thank you, Len. John, I just want to add one thing to this, and it was brought up to me by a fan on Twitter last week.
And we got our first poll that's, you know, Twitter rant of the year, by the way. I was very excited about that.
You knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
I know. It's great. We got it in. No one tweets more than Paul, but he hates it.
Anyway.
It's a bit of a contradiction. It's strange. If he hates it so much, why is he constantly tweeting? And you wonder why he's going out of his mind.
Yes.
It's self-torture.
Oh, actually, I've been out of my mind for many years.
Well, yeah, I can certainly attest to that.
I think, John, the back-ended comment that has to be tagged to Lynn's remark is that somebody mentioned to me on a tweet about a week ago, and then I think one of the papers may have said it. Now I think Amani Toomer mentioned it, I think, yesterday on Sirius. And maybe there's something to it. You know, the Giants have seen a bunch of guys go down in non-contract drills in the last 3 years, including Hakeem Nicks.
Right.
And perhaps he's a bit apprehensive. I don't necessarily agree with it. If that's the case, I don't even know if there's any merit to that particular angle. But if there is, the only thing I would say is that the Giants certainly, as far as evidence is concerned, have had a number of guys go down with non-contact injuries.
Hickson,
including Nicks. Yes,
Anoski,
sure. Witherspoon, you know, Johnson.
Terrell Thomas, even.
Absolutely. So
that being said, it's not like you can't just say, well, I'm not going to work out till we got to play games.
I get it. And again, I don't agree.
Right.
But if there is any truth to that, at least I would tip my cap to the fact that there's evidence, recent evidence, that has shown a number of guys being hurt.
We have one more call, then we got to wrap this up, Paul. But first, if Nicks was here, how much do you think he'd be working on the field with that Nick?
Oh, I think he would be doing very limited drills at this point.
Fair enough.
They would probably have him in there with the first team to take a few snaps, to have Eli throw to him just a bit. But I don't think he'd do much more than that, to be honest, anyway.
Gene in Brooklyn wraps up the show on the phones. Gene, good morning.
How you doing?
What's up, Gene?
How you doing?
Good.
I was just calling to I want to know how you think David Wilson going to do this season.
I think David Wilson will average around 15 carries a game. I think he'll rush for just over 900 yards. I think Andre Brown will chip in another six, give or take. I think he'll return probably about 40% of the Giants' kickoffs, have some success doing that. And I think he'll be a big play guy that is a big part of the Giants' offense this season. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. We need a running back. We need some running game this year. Last year, they depended on Eli too much. And I think they just need to get the running game going back. How we used to have Tiki Barber when he was good before he, like, left. We need that running game back.
All right, Gene, sounds good, man.
Take care.
Thanks for the call.
Well, John, I don't know if even I agree with your numbers. I think they may be a little high right now because I don't have a lot of confidence in this running back tandem with Andre Brown coming off the injury.
You don't think David Wilson can get 900 yards?
I think David Wilson has the skills to get 1,300 yards, but I don't know that he's going to be on the field enough to do it.
Well,
he needs
to
prove a lot of things first.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I said I think if he gets around 15 carries again, I think 900 yards is reasonable.
He's got to prove he can pick up the blitz. He's got to prove he can read defenses. He's got to prove that he can be a threat out of the backfield.
Well, think of it this way. 15 carries a game is about 240 rushes, right? Because 15 times 15
right.
is 25.
Right.
So add 15 to that, you're
right.
at 240. So if he rushes 240 times, he averages 4 yards of carries around on 960 yards.
But here's what happens.
I think that's reasonable.
If he doesn't inspire confidence in the coaching staff to
he's not going to get those 15.
That's right.
But who is? That's
well,
the problem.
Well, what's going to happen is they'll wind up dividing them up between Andre Brown and even Ryan Terrain. We'll wind up seeing some of those carries because if David Wilson,
you're going to have a lot of angry Giant fans if that happens,
and a lot of disappointed people in this building if
that's
that happens.
That's true. That means David Wilson hasn't done enough
right.
to earn those carries.
Right. But you and I both know Tom Coughlin makes you earn your snaps. Nobody gets them gratis here.
That's true.
But
I think he came on and showed Coach something in the last year.
Let's see him earn his snaps, and then we'll start talking about numbers.
Fair enough. Final thought, Paul, before we say goodbye, heading into OTAs and then minicamp next week, what are you taking a look at?
Well, today I want to see what DeMontre Moore is doing, if he's still doing a lot of stand-up stuff. I want to continue to watch Justin Pugh and his footwork.
DeMontre is officially your guy, isn't he? this year.
I'm keeping a real close eye on him because
of the rookie class. He is now. I don't care if you want him or not. He's now your guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. From
DeMonte Moore, Paul DeTino,
from the draft picks,
number one guy.
From the draft picks, he's the guy who I'm really looking at carefully every step he takes. I'm also going to be looking at Brandon Collins, who drew a lot of praise from Coach last week.
And they liked him last year. They didn't want to cut him.
No. And you remember David Douglas was also on this team, and they wound up losing him, too, at the very end.
Well, they ended up keeping David Douglas
and cutting
Brandon Collins, and then Douglas got sniped off the practice squad.
Right.
I wonder if he's going to be on Tampa's active roster this
year. Question. So, you know, with the Giants' receiving situation as it is now, Collins is getting a lot of chances to show things. So I'm interested to look at him. You know, he's one of those Smurf guys under 6 feet. He's not one of the big guys.
Smurf guys?
Well, yeah. Receivers who are under 6, I call them Smurfs. Receivers who are over 6'3", I call skyscrapers.
Oh, see, I thought you went Smurfs because the Giants wear blue. I was going to ask you, what if it's like the Jets or the
No. Guy, nowadays,
are they snorks?
Used to be when a guy was like under 5'10", he was
right?
a Smurf.
No. Snorks, were they green? Anybody?
I don't know about that. But under 5'10", used to be a Smurf, but now... And now under 6 feet of Smurf.
Okay.
Anyway, but those are some of the guys I'm looking at today.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
You got it, John.
Enjoy practice. Thanks for joining us. Everybody will be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here on Giants.com. Paul's going to go watch the Snorks. We'll see you later.